We'll go to the next verse, which is kind of a continuation of this verse. When he glorifies the path of karma phala tyagam, giving up the fruit, because somebody might think the highest is, you know, turn your mind towards me, fix your attention in me. And then if you can't do that, then do it with abhyasa, with practice, you know, again and again, bring your mind towards me. If you cannot do that, then take me to work with you, do all actions dedicated to me. Oh Lord, everything I'm doing is for you. And if you cannot even do that, then give up the fruits. So that is the lowest. That is the useless one. No, the Lord says that is can be the best. So don't think that is not a good path. And it's very beautifully explained there. He says, where he has given a stepwise progression of how our actions should be purified. So verse number 12. Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat. Jnanadhyanam vishishyate. Dhyanat karma phala tyagah. Tyaga chantiranantaram. In Sanskrit, we say phala, we don't say phala. Phala is said in many of the Indian languages, but in Sanskrit it is phala. That is the correct pronunciation. Of course, the meaning is the same. So, shreyo hi, when he says he, that means certainly, indeed, with great emphasis, shreya. Shreya is a very beautiful word, because in life, we are always faced with two choices, called shreya and preya. The Kathopanishad, actually, which is one of the very beautiful Upanishads, a lot of the Bhagavad Gita has been taken from the Kathopanishad. In the Kathopanishad, it says that there are two paths for us, shreya and preya. Preya is what I enjoy, and shreya is what is good for me. So one is what I enjoy, and one is what is good. Like, you know, in the morning, you know, I have a choice. I can, you know, after breakfast, you know, just sit in front of the idiot box and watch, you know, the sports or the shows or the soap operas. Or I can put on my sneakers, put on my shorts and go to the gym and work out for an hour or hour and a half. Now, the choice is mine. I have an hour and a half. What do I do with it? Or do I just, you know, sit on the phone talking to my friends or surfing the net? Or do I go out and go for a jog or go for a walk out in the fresh air? You'll say, you know, sitting down in front of the TV with potato chips and having a drink is so much better. I can stretch out. So comfortable. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to do anything. It's Sunday morning. Kya sobe sobe daudna idhar udhar. You know, why should I be running here and there? Let me relax and enjoy my Sunday morning. Now, that seems very good. That's why this is prayer in the beginning. It is very good. It is very pleasing. But the result is not good. See, if I do that every day, you know, sit in front of the TV, eat and drink, then what's going to happen? I'm going to become unhealthy and I'm going to suffer all the consequences, heart attack, stroke, obesity and all those. So in the beginning, the path of prayer seems pleasant, but the result is not good. But shreya is what is good for me. I go to the gym, I work out, I sweat, or I go jogging. It seems very painful. It seems uncomfortable. But what is the long result? The long result of that is good health. And I, you know, feel better about myself. Mentally, I feel so much better. You know, I did something good today. Physically, I feel healthy. So shreya is what is difficult in the beginning, but the result is good. Prayer is what is pleasant, what is fun, but the result is not good. So here Krishna says, what is shreya? What is good for you? So he says, what is shreya? What is better? Jnanam abhyasat. Abhyas means just doing the actions mechanically. Jnanam is better, knowledge is better than action. And then he says, Jnanat Dhyanam Visheshyate. And better than knowledge is meditation. Dhyanam Visheshyate. Visheshyate means is superior, is better. And then Dhyanat, and better than meditation is Karma Phala Tyaga. Giving up the fruit of action is even better than meditation. I thought you said that meditation is higher and the fruit of action is the lowest for people who have 80% vasana. And now you are saying, make up your mind, Krishna, please decide which one is better, which one is super. First you said meditation is the best, and now you are saying action, giving up the fruit. And not only that, he says, Tyagat Shantir Anantaram. Anantaram, endless peace you get by Tyaga. By giving up the fruit. Now, why do we get suddenly a verse that is very contradictory? What happens is that in this teaching, when the teacher is teaching the student tends to become, you know, relaxed. You know, okay, the teacher is talking and he slowly, his attention starts wandering and he becomes, you know, kind of take it for granted and becomes a little sleepy. So periodically, the Bhagavad Gita puts these verses which seem very contradictory, which wake up. Huh? What did he say? Is the teacher okay? Did he have something to drink this morning? Or did he have a little marijuana or something? Why is the teacher saying that? So the teacher wants us to think. The idea of these contradictory verses is that it makes us think that why is the teacher saying that? Here, of course, the teacher is the Lord himself. And why would he put something so contradictory, so confusing? Of course, there is a story of Ganeshji. We don't have time to talk about it, but next time, sometime I can tell. But the idea was that they would put some contradictory verses to make the student wake up and to make the student question. And when the student questions and thinks carefully, then he or she will come to the conclusion that this is right. So why do they say that the path of giving up the fruit is the highest? It is better than even meditation and it gives you eternal peace. So let us go with the first one. He says, Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat. Better than action is right knowledge. You know, some people just mechanically keep doing actions. They'll go to the church, just light a candle, you know, get down on their knees, say a few prayers and go home. Some people will just go to the church or go to the temple, ring the bell, you know, put some flowers, get the prasad and just walk out. Or in the morning, they're mechanically doing prayers. They're chanting the Vishnu Sahasranamam, Vishwam Vishnu Vashatkaro Bhut. On and on, they have memorized the whole thing and mechanically they're chanting, not even thinking about what they are saying. So it says that when you light a candle or when you light a aarti and you do the aarti, or when you offer flowers or when you get prasad or when you are chanting the name of the Lord or when you are doing all the rituals, or even when I'm doing some work, you know, I'm doing some work. Jnanam, to have the right knowledge of what I am doing and why I am doing it is very important. Otherwise, you are mechanically doing the rituals. It doesn't serve any purpose. It is good. It is better than, you know, going there somewhere and doing something bad. At least I'm going to the temple and I'm remembering the Lord. But when you do it with the right knowledge, why am I getting down on my knees? Why am I lighting the candle? Why am I doing the aarti? What is the purpose? Then once you have the right knowledge, then that same action becomes better. So having the right knowledge is better than mechanically doing the action. Having the right knowledge reminds me of a story. There was this man who called 911 and he said, you know, my wife is having a heart attack. She can hardly breathe. You know, her pulse is very weak. Looks like she's very sick. You better send an ambulance right away. So the operator says, yes, sir, we'll send an ambulance. Where do you live? So he says, I live on Eucalyptus Drive. So she says, can you spell it? So he thinks for a moment and says, you know what? I'm going to drag her to Oak Street. You can pick her up from there. So So not having the right knowledge, our actions are not good. So here he says, the right knowledge. So when you do something, you know why I am doing it, have the right understanding. And jnana dhyanam vishishyate. And he says, just having the knowledge is good. When you read the Bhagavad Gita, you studied about, you know, all the paths, and also they say in the sixth chapter, the path of meditation is the fastest way. If you want to destroy your vasanas, sit and meditate. But what do I meditate on? You know, I sit down and close my eyes and I watch my breath and I relax my... Then what do I do after that? So they say, read the Upanishads, read the Gita, go to a teacher and learn not only the technique, but what am I meditating on? So the knowledge that I have acquired by reading the Bhagavad Gita, the scriptures, I make that knowledge my own in meditation. So in meditation, they say, you know, turn your attention inward to the Lord's presence within and become a witness and watch your thoughts and watch your mind. And ultimately, it tells you that you are that highest, Brahman, that consciousness. But not this body, mind and intellect, not Anil or Pankaj or Hansa, but that consciousness, that reality within what they call as your higher nature. You know, there is a lower nature. My lower nature is this body, mind and intellect. And right now, we are all identified with our lower nature. I think I'm Anil, I'm a doctor, I'm a male, I'm, you know, living in Bakersfield. So that is all my lower nature. These are my cousins, my brothers, my parents, my friends. All that, this is my house, this is my car, all that is lower nature. Whatever you can see, hear, smell, taste, touch, this mission I work in, that is all my lower nature. Everything that you can see, hear, smell, taste, touch, you can think about, you can feel, everything is my lower nature. And we are only living in our lower nature. But Bhagavad Gita says you have that higher nature. That is your true nature. There was a very famous saint of the Chinmaya Mission, and she used to sing. She actually passed away a few years back. And she used to sing, Mera Sat Chit Anand Roop Koi Koi Jane Re. He says, I have a higher nature, which is of Sat Chit Anand, which is that infinite, immortal existence, all-knowing, but very few people in this universe know that. So in meditation, you turn your attention to your higher nature, and that is where you try to abide. And the more you can do that, then that comes in your worldly existence also. Then you can live your life. That's what these saints do, people like Mirabai and Saint Francis and Kabir and all these great saints. They had experienced that truth and then they brought it into their world of actions. So in meditation, I live in that, I stay in that understanding and then I bring it. So that's why he says, just reading the books is good, but when you meditate, then that knowledge becomes yours. Dhyanat karma phala tyaga. But better than meditation is giving up the fruits. Why? Because giving up the fruits leads to instant peace. It's like instant. You know, like instant coffee, you put it in, you know, you get coffee. So by giving up the fruit, you get instant peace. Now, why do they say that? Why do they say that even better than meditation is? Because when I'm doing an action, when I'm doing service, or when I'm reading, then what happens is that I get a little, you know, thought that by doing this service, I'll get accumulate good karmas, or my name will become famous, people will remember me, and people will thank me, and then, you know, I can win in the election. Or by reading the scriptures, I'll get a little knowledge, then I can show everybody how much Sanskrit I know, and I can give talks, and like I am doing right now. So then this thing comes, you know, that, so there is still a little trace of fruit, that there will be some result after I do that, after I get knowledge, or after I serve. Even people who sit for meditation, they sit with the desire that there will be fruit. That if I meditate deep enough, then, you know, the Lord will appear in front of me, or I will realize that truth, or I will become a great Mahatma, or I will get, you know, sometimes people meditate to get siddhis, to get powers. You know, people, there are people who can actually walk on water and read people's mind, and there are various siddhis that can be acquired. So people, even when they sit for meditation, they sometimes sit with the idea of the fruit, karma phala, what is the result I'm going to get. So what Sri Krishna is saying is that when you are doing service, when you are doing prayer, when you are doing reading the scriptures, even when you are meditating, keep your attention on the present. Do not focus on the fruit, because the moment you focus on the fruit, then your attention diverts from what you're doing. Even if you are meditating, but if you are meditating that what am I going to get as a result of the meditation, then that itself becomes wasteful. You know, the true focus is not there. And when you have no attention to the fruit, you do not care about the fruit, you are just doing the action, then you have extreme peace. Why? Because I did not do this to get something. I did it because it was the right thing, Lord. At that moment, when the situation came in front of me, this was the right thing. Whatever station you have placed me in, this is my duty. I did it to the best of my ability. When I'm taking care of my children, am I thinking that, oh, these children will grow up and then take care of me when I'm old and they'll come and visit me? No. I do it because out of love, because these children are me, you know, and they are part of me, and that's why I love them unselfishly to the best of my ability. But that should extend to other people also, not only to my children, but other children, other people of the world. When I serve them, it should be because it is the right thing to do without expectation of fruits. Then you have extreme peace of mind. Then you say, I am peaceful. And not only that, but when the result comes, then also you are peaceful. You say, I did my best, Lord. Now, whatever the result, that depends upon you, because I am your servant. I am your instrument. You placed me here and I'm doing your work. If the result comes, the result is yours too. It's not mine. Success and failure, you give it to the Lord. You have it. You succeeded or you failed. So then your shanti anantaram, then you have total endless peace. So that is why he's saying that. So the idea is that there is a stepwise progression, like what he has said, that you start by giving up the fruits of actions. As you give up the fruit of actions, the more and more you think about God, that it is because of him I am doing, you become his servant, then your mind becomes more and more centered on him, then you take him to work, and then after that, then you progress to, you know, remembering him at all times, devoting all actions to him, and then ultimately you merge in him, you know, nivasishyasi mayeva ata urdhvam na samshaya. So the point is that they are all together. It's not that there is any watertight compartments that you can only sacrifice the fruit, you cannot remember him, you cannot dedicate. So the more you do these actions, the more you do unselfish actions, the more you remember the Lord, the more you pray, the more you meditate, the more you serve, the purer your mind becomes. And that is the goal of all human beings, to purify our mind and achieve liberation. That's what I have put in the chart also. So liberation means becoming one with that and becoming free of the entanglements of the objects, emotions and thoughts, because right now we are entangled, we are caught, we are bound. So what do you mean by freedom? Freedom means that I am not dependent on the world of objects for my happiness, because I am happiness. I do not need happiness from everybody, because I am Sat Chit Anand. I am already that bliss. So that is called freedom, that is called shanti, that is called happiness, and that can only happen when you practice karma yoga. So I think in today's talks, basically we have touched very briefly on the topic of karma yoga, which of course is an extensive topic. the entire third chapter and then part of the fourth chapter also talks about the Yajna spirit and all. But if we remember that my life here is to serve, that is the main purpose of my life, and whatever abilities I have, my body, my mind, and my intellect, I should use that to serve, but do my activities unselfishly, dedicated to the Lord, and do my best, focused in the present. That's even the book, The Power of Now, I think some of you have read by Eckhart Tolle. There also he talks about that stay in the now. It's not easy. Again, you know, he needs more explanation of how I can stay in the now. But by being in the now, your actions become pure because you are not worried about the future. But the Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita tell us how you can stay in the now. So his, of course, his teachings are also taken from Upanishads and from the Buddhist teachings. But when you do that, then your actions become pure. They are dedicated to the Lord and they take us to the higher. And that is the purpose of human birth. To evolve from, from plant to animal, I mean plant to fish to animal to bird and to human. And then I should evolve to sainthood, become one with God. These are beautiful verses. Any comments on? Yes. It depends on the student. See, the same medicine, like if a lady comes to you with four or five different problems, will you give them all the same medicine? No, right? You will tailor the medicine. Somebody has an infection, you give her something. Somebody has other problems. So depending on the problems, you prescribe different medicines for different ladies. And that is well known. So this medicine that is given, that's why there are four paths. Because depending on the purity of mind, Buddha was ready. Buddha was that 80% category where 80% of his mind was pure. He had very minimal of impurities and he had absolutely no desire for the kingdom. He had not even desire for his wife and child. He wanted to attain the truth. And so he left everything because for him, that first path, Mayyeva man adhatsva mai buddhim nivesh nivasishyasi mayyeva. Put your mind on me and you will live with me. But Arjuna was not yet ready. He was not at Buddha's level. Arjuna was more like you and I, who are still very much entrapped in the world. He had a very temporary vairagya, temporary detachment because of his situation. He saw that there was going to be a war. So many people are going to be killed and my own relatives are in front of me, my grandfather, my teacher. So his detachment was not out of understanding. It was out of confusion, out of moha, because he did not know what is his duty. This war was not only a war for land or war between two families or cousins. It was a conflict of good versus evil. Because the Pandavas were good. They were good and not only that, the Kauravas were evil. And they were much more numerous. And when the Kauravas were ruling, the land was full of, when the king is corrupt, in so many countries, we see even in India now, there is so much corruption at the top. When the leaders are corrupt, then obviously everybody becomes corrupt. They say it's okay to be corrupt. When the leaders are violent, in so many countries we find leaders are violent, then the people are also violent. They are killing, torturing. So the leader decides how the country should live. And if the Kauravas had continued to rule, because not only it was their kingdom, they were the most powerful dynasty in the whole of India. So it would have determined the future of India. If the Kauravas were victorious, then their sons would be living and the grandsons. And so the corrupt rulers would continue to rule India for hundreds of years. But the Pandavas being good, they were honest, they were sincere, they were kind. Yudhishthir was the epitome of truth. Arjuna was, very straightforward. Nakul and Sahadev were very, very, very divine and very spiritual people. So if spiritual people are ruling the country, then what is going to be the future of the country? It's going to be good. So Krishna was telling Arjuna that you are at this moment not fighting your personal battle against your cousins. You are fighting for the good of the country. And it is your duty, even if it involves, see, they tried in all, by all nice peaceful means to resolve it, but the evils were not ready. He said, I'll not even give an, you know, sui ke barab, I'm not even going to give you enough land to cover a needle. So when the corrupt people have taken over the country and there is no way to negotiate, there is no choice. Like when Hitler had taken over the whole of Europe, you could say, Christ said, you know, love thy neighbor as thyself. So we should not attack, you know, let him. No, because that force is bad for the whole of Europe. And that's why America and all the other countries got into the war, even though you'll say, well, war is bad. Why did they go from here to, you know, the Normandy and, you know, attack? Why? Because to eliminate evil. So this situation where Arjuna was placed, and if Arjuna had been allowed to go to the forest to meditate, he would not have, because he was a warrior. What he would have done, he would have taken a sword and destroyed all the trees, because he had that. He still had, his vasanas had not been. He was maybe at the 40% or 20%, somewhere like us. Where we are at the, for us, we have to work unselfishly. That's why the path of Karma Yoga is advice for people like us, because we are still at that level. We are not at the level of Buddha. So that's why he was told to do his duty, because it is good for the country. It is good for the future. It is good for that. And if Arjuna had run away, the Pandavas would have lost the battle, because he was their best warrior. He was their leader. And without him, they would have never won. And the evil would have continued to rule. So Krishna is telling him what is his duty, even if it involves doing something that you don't enjoy doing. And if he had run away, he would not have evolved. He would not have become a Buddha. He would have become a miserable monk wandering the forest, and would have been very unhappy. So it depends on the student. Yes. Just practice means just mechanically doing actions. Mechanically doing, or doing with the right understanding. Like when I light a candle, or when I do the aarti, the idea is that, oh Lord, your knowledge, that is the light of knowledge, may it shine in my heart. So then your lighting of the candle becomes, you know, better than just mechanically light the candle and go away. Or when we do the aarti, we offer the flame. It is that, O Lord, the flame of knowledge, that is you, may it light in my heart. So doing actions with right understanding is better than mechanically doing the actions. That's what they mean. Any action that you do, you know, suppose somebody tells you, you need to dig a hole here. You know, you've been given a job and you need to dig now 20 holes and keep digging till you know, for the next 3 months. So, but why am I digging? You don't need to know. Just keep on digging. You know, then you, it'll become, but if you say, you know, by digging these holes, we can, you know, put a fence, and, you know, if they give you all the purpose, and then you have a goal, okay, I am contributing to some long-term goal of this factory or long-term. So when you have the right knowledge, then your actions also are more sincere, instead of just, you're just given instruction. And that's why they say, no, the worker should buy into the company. What are the company's goals? And what are, even a janitor or even a clerk should have the highest goal in mind, that what is good for the company. Then their actions become higher. So that's why there is a lot of emphasis these days on educating the workers to, so that they buy into the vision of the company. Not just say that only the top managers need to know and the guys down below, you know, they don't need to know. So that is why. Because otherwise they'll be mechanically doing their job. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shantihi, hari om shri gurubhyo namaha, hari om.